You know, over the last 18 months or so, it's been quite a challenge if you've been a missionary, from travel issues to getting a visa, being unable to meet with those that God called you to meet with in the country that you serve in. But nevertheless, the sovereign God has continued to spread the love of Jesus Christ all throughout the nations. And while we could spend the whole morning giving you a report about what's been going on, Tony asked me to just share just a little teeny bit about some of what's happened through missionaries that all of you together support around the globe. And this comes from the annual review that takes place in September that the missions committee does on every missionary. So Pika in Romania said that they had the best year of ministry absolutely ever, that they felt like God was working like never before. They ended up having over 20 consistent volunteers, which is tops for them. They met weekly, even during COVID, with 45 people. And they had over 100 students attend a camp, which is more than pre-COVID. So that was a fantastic report. And then in India, there was a revival meeting where 7 people accepted Christ and were baptized at the same time. Then in Pakistan, which many of you know is a very, Islamic sort of radical nation there in Islam, Solomon reported that 80 new believers were baptized, and Naveed reported that 14 people who had a Muslim background were also baptized. And then Mark in Zambia, during their Easter service, they had 15 people make a decision to follow Christ. Samson in Nigeria said that an imam and a family came to Christ, and now the imam is preaching Christ. And an imam, of course, is a religious leader in a mosque. Yeah, fantastic. Branko in Serbia said that people like never before have been taking New Testaments and open to conversation and dialogue. And then souls have been saved in Ukraine, Chad, Roma in Russia, North Korea, Vietnam, Brazil, Peru, Cuba, and additional congregations were planted in Bangladesh, Laos, Brazil, and Cuba. And this is just a real teeny part of the report from missionaries that you support. There are thousands of churches just like ours around the world supporting other missionaries going. So God is doing a great work and still moving. Don't be discouraged at all. And so with that, it is my honor and privilege to introduce to you our guest teacher this morning, one of our long-term supported missionaries from Italy. Sam and Joan Fiore are here. They were both born in New Jersey, and they've been serving the Lord as church planters in Milan, Italy, with Crossworld for 41 years. They have 2 children, Sam Jr. and Nina, as well as 7 grandchildren. Sam came to know the Lord at 20 years old, and then eventually got into business, working as an engineer, and then he started his own gold manufacturing business and was a dealer in gold until 36. And then he and his family were called to go to Italy as missionaries. In 1982, Sam founded Radio Vita, a Christian radio station that broadcasts 24 hours a day, and it has been online running live for 39 straight years. Then in 1983, the Lord gave them the privilege of planting a church called Punto Lode in the city of Milan, which stands for Point of Praise, if I am correct. And then Sam is also the founder of a church planting training program in Europe. And for the past 31 years, he and Joan have been able to teach missions and evangelism in Torchbearer Bible schools, both in Europe and in the U.S. And I also have a personal connection to Sam. My first short-term mission trip from RBC when I was actually young was to Italy to join Sam and Joan. I learned so much from them there back in the early 80s. And Sam, come and teach us. We're looking forward to having you and so delighted that you've come. You know, you haven't aged a day. God bless you. God bless you.
I have to do a little house cleaning here, move back so people can see me over here. This kind of stuff is a distraction to me. I am a dyslexic, attention deficit, and hyperactive. So when I have to do house cleaning, it's like, Sam, didn't you see those bags of food on the counter? No, I didn't see them. So I do thank God for the privilege I have being with you this morning. Io vi saluto nel nome del nostro Signore Gesù, che I fratelli in Italia mi hanno incaricato di salutarvi dicendo che Cristo è risorto e stiamo vincendo. Amen. Amen. I'm from New Jersey. That what I said was, how you doing? Forget about it. No, what I said was, I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters in Milan, Italy. They have already met this morning. They are praying for us. Guys, we have come through COVID. We're still in it. We were the first country to be hit. And I'll share with you how crazy that time was. But here's the thing to keep in mind. We are winners. Amen? Amen. Christ has conquered all his enemies. And when I think of back in those early days when we were in lockdown for 3 months, how do you keep going when you have all new believers? We were meeting February 28th, March 1st, complete shutdown. We had to say to the church, we have to keep going. And they would say, what are we going to do that the church is shut down? And as elders, we said, no, the church isn't shut down. The building's shut down. The church is a group of people called to Jesus. And we went to Hebrews chapter 12. And we just said, it says, keep your focus on Jesus. And don't give up. Don't grow weary because he is on the throne. And guys, we came here 41 years ago when you guys were in South Lakes. There were about 300 people there. Joan and I came with our two little kids, Nina and Sam, 9 and 10. And we asked you to pray for us. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. I was a successful business person. My business was going very well. We lived in the country. I'd go fishing every day. I played golf. I just sort of had a very unusual lifestyle. But God, at a certain point, says, time to leave this and go to Italy. Now, here's the interesting thing. I was already active in evangelism and I was discipling people. But when God said, I want you to go to Italy, like some business people here or housewives, God might be saying, consider missions. If someone had asked me before God started directing us to go to Italy and asked me, would you do anything God called you to do? I would say, yes, beyond the shadow of a doubt. But when God touched me and said, Sam, I want you to go to Italy and be my witnesses. Now, I had all kinds of reasons why I couldn't go. Lord, look, I'm a dyslexic. I can't learn. I can support a lot of missionaries. Just let me keep a little bit. And God said, no, I want you to go. And at a certain point, I went, this means, like, what are you doing, God? At a certain point, I went, that means I'm out of here. And at a certain point, I said, I'm really out of here. That's Italian, by the way. But God said, Sam, where do you want to spend the rest of your life? In my will or outside of my will? I was a hardhead, but I wasn't stupid. So we started on this journey. And one of our first churches was Reston Bible Church. And I get emotional thinking about it because I'm looking at a very close friend. We showed up and we said, God's calling us to go to Italy. And in those days, Reston didn't know too much about missions. But Mike had this vision to think, Reston Bible Church should be involved in missions. And all of a sudden, Nate decided to, you guys have started to stand with us. And you sent us out in 1980 to be your representatives in Milan, Italy. We went to Florence for 2 years. At the age of 36, 38, I found that I'm a dyslexic. I thought, God, how am I going to try to plan a church? I can't speak this crazy language. And I thought, what do I do? And God led me to this verse here. My God may God himself, take note, the God of peace, you see, God brings peace to us when we get to know him. There's a concept of he makes peace with us, and then we have peace at our level. Then we can start living the Christian life. And when you're in situations where you don't have peace, find out how you're doing with God, okay? And look what it says. The God of peace sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, he's coming back. The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. He's not suggesting here in this passage what Paul is saying, hey guys, you're suffering, you're going through tough times, but keep your focus on Jesus and look, He who calls you, he calls you to do something. And then he says, he will do it. We went, finished our language study. I had a tough time. First person I had a chance to talk to about the Lord said, can I talk to you about Jesus? And I use my hand sort of as a very simple illustration to share my faith. First of all, God is love. Second of all, we're all sinners. Jesus Christ is the answer. You have to receive him. And most people forget the little pinky. You know what this is? Would you like to do it right now with me? Can we pray together? I share this with them. Of course, I'm a theologian, so no. I just shared the gospel with them. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus? And the guy said, yes. I said, you would? You understood what I said? And you know what came to mind? God says, Sam, I'm going to build my church. Doesn't matter your defects. Doesn't matter what all your wounds are, your scars, whatever happened to you in the past. If you make yourself available to me, I will use you. And that was, we started our journey. We were rejected by 3 mission organizations because they said, you cannot take your kids at the ages of 11 and 12 to go to Italy. It's a tough culture. And, you know, when they told me that, I sort of gave them one of these. You know what this means in Italian? What are you saying? All I can think of is God has called us. We did take them to Italy. And guys, listen, you're a missions church. When you see missionaries standing here talking about going to the field, pray for them, but pray especially for their kids because they're bringing them into a culture that is completely foreign. And the enemy attacks the family before he attacks anything else. So we took our kids in there, and they had a tough time. They went to a small school, not a Christian school, in Tuscany. 8 kids in the school. One of their students, his main goal in life was to overthrow his government. That's a little different for a missionary kid to be raised in. Fast forward, 41 years later, Nina is serving the Lord with Michael Schaffsma. You guys support them. They have a church plant in Milan, Italy. Michael was, I'll tell you about this later, Michael was chaplain at Samaritan's Purse COVID hospital in Cremona. And while he was serving there, my little granddaughter, little, she's 28 years old. Sorry, Gloria, if you're listening. She called me up and said, Grandpa, I'm going down to Cremona to be at the COVID hospital. And that's where you give a double thing like this. God, that's my granddaughter going into COVID hospital. And God says, you've trusted her to me. Just keep trusting. Praise God, through Michael's and Glory's ministry, many people have come to know the Lord. And then there's my grandson, Max, who's a missionary. Was 3 generations of missionary in my family. I was the first believer in my family. And I look now, I'm thinking, wow. And then my son, Sam, when he was young, I said, Sam, what do you want to do for a living? He said, well, I'd like to be the president of the world or be a ringmaster. What he's doing now, he went to Geneva, Switzerland as a banker, very, very successful banker. God called him to serve the Lord about 8 years ago in this English-speaking church in Geneva, Switzerland. In his church, there are 8 UN ambassadors that are committed Christians. One of them went to Sam and said, Sam, when I walk through the halls of the UN, I see Jesus walking with me, and I think we have to do something. Sam said, let's pray. Within 3 weeks, they had an official imprimatur from the Secretary General of the United Nations to set up an organization called the United Nations Christian Assembly. Think about it. Never before in the history of the UN has any Christian organization, you have a privilege of meeting here. Sam has an office in the United Nations. He walks around. He prays for people. He has prayer meetings every week. Christmas time, the Secretary General said, don't you have a choir? Why don't you come and sing in the assembly hall? Well, Sam said, well, we have a choir. Well, he had a choir of about 10 people, 20 people. But he put together a choir of 150 people, musicians. And I was watching, and I thought, oh, my goodness. What is going on? How are these things happening? And I think we started as friends 41 years ago, 300 people. And I look now and I think, do you realize that Reston Bible Church has impacted millions of people in the world? Because one day, God saved Mike Minter and Kay, sent them to this area and said, I'm going to do something about missions. And he said, we're going to give 40% to missions. Now, it's not the money, guys. Let me just share with you. It helps, but it's not the money. It's the concept, a church of thousands of people realizing that we're in this battle together, and God is doing incredible things in the world. And it's because of one day, the greatest man in the world made a statement, and because of that statement, you and I are sitting in this building today worshiping the Lord. And what's his name? Bruce. Sorry, Bruce. He's a good friend. Oh, what's his name? And you heard what God is doing. Pakistan. Wow. Can't mention anybody who's serving in Pakistan because it's a closed country. But here's what Jesus said. Put that up, please. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. That word church was the first time used by Jesus Christ. It was a Greek word that had to do with a public meeting that people were supposed to come out, meet together, hear what was going on, and then go back into society. Jesus took that word. The word is ecclesia. And what he said is, these guys, these simple disciples, had no idea what he was talking about. But what Jesus was saying, I am going to call a group of people to myself. I'm going to empower them, and then I'm going to send them into the world to proclaim the gospel. Again, they didn't understand it, but what he had in mind was just taking normal people like you and me and bringing the gospel to the world. I've entitled this message, God's Strange Strategy. God, that's a tough word for a dyslexic. They're all the words are the same. God's Strange Strategy. I'm going to put up the next slide, please. Let's put this passage in historical context. Jesus is at his last Passover with his disciples. Within a day, he's going to be on the cross, and all of a sudden, the disciples, their world is going to be falling apart. Sunday, he's accepted as Hosanna. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, things start going crazy. And then Jesus is celebrating this last Passover with them. Now, they didn't know it was their last Passover, but Jesus knew what they were going to be encountering in the future. And what he's saying, look what he says. Verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them, the disciples, out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Guys, we're in a spiritual battle. Ephesians chapter 6 clearly teaches that this battle is an intense battle. And Paul is saying, put on the whole armor of God to be protected. So here's the realization of that prayer. That they are not of this world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. That's what we have, guys. We proclaim truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me, we know from Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus left glory and came down here. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctified myself that they too may be truly sanctified. And guys, here's where you and I fit in. This is incredible. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, all of them may be one. Let's pray, please. Father, we're before your word. And we read about such an intimate moment where Jesus is spending with his disciples. And Father, as we look at this passage, We pray that you would just teach us and lead us. Amen. I call this thing, this message, God's Strange Strategy. Just think for a minute. Here, these disciples, they're sitting there thinking, wow, what an incredible high priestly prayer. We're here, he's praying for us. But Thomas probably said, what's he talking about? He's going to do what with us? Again, it was just them. There were masses of people, but they were on the inner circle. Jesus spent 3.5 years with them. At this point, he knew that Friday, the crucifixion, their world would fall apart. And all of a sudden, Friday comes. And I can imagine these guys saying, he prayed for us. What's going on? When the cross happened, nobody knew about Sunday, the resurrection, the empty tomb. I like to say, the silence of the empty tomb was a shout of victory. When Jesus came out of that tomb, all of a sudden, the pieces started coming together for these disciples. And we look at Matthew 28, and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. All authority has been given to me. And then you get to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he says, look, guys, I have a task for you to do. I want you to go preach the gospel to your Jerusalem. It'd be like Mike or Tony coming up here and saying, hey, guys, hey, you have a task to do. We're going to evangelize Sterling Reston. Most of you would say, hey, let's give it a shot. It's a good idea. Then what would you do if Tony or Mike or somebody said, not only Reston, but all of Virginia, and even go to this place called New Jersey? You might say, oh, you know what that means? Are you a little crazy? And then he says, look, New Jersey isn't enough. You have to reach the whole world. How could that be done? We're 1,000, 2,000 people. It's not going to be possible. These guys were 120 people when Jesus said that. When the Holy Spirit came on them in Acts 2, Peter, the coward, stood up and said, the one you have crucified, that Jesus has risen from the dead. He is seated on the throne and he's coming back. And what happened? 3,000 people became believers in a day. I'm an evangelist. I'd probably faint and couldn't figure out what's going on. And then we see the book of Acts. We see 5,000. And then we see the multitudes. And when I read the book of Acts, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. This is incredible what God did with these normal people. They were fishermen, publicans, they were prostitutes. They were people probably we would not even want to associate with. And all of a sudden, you come to the end of the book, and Peter's in jail in Rome, and he's still proclaiming. And it's saying the multitudes and the Roman guards are coming to know Jesus. And then the book ends. There's no ending to the book of Acts. It isn't like Ephesians, Lord, bless you and keep you. May the God of mercy protect you. Go on. The book just comes to an end. And I teach on mission, so I ask this question. Have you ever asked the question, why is there no ending to the book of Acts? You know why? The key is, it's not a theological book like Romans, Galatians. It's not a pastoral epistle. It's a history book of that ecclesia, the church that Jesus called to himself and said, I'm going to build it. And listen, if anybody's sleeping, just wake up for a second, okay? I believe God is still writing the book of Acts. And I think when we get to heaven, first of all, we're going to see people there and going to say, you're here? And then they'll look at me and say, you're here? And I think when we get there, the chapter on the Punta Lodi church where I serve, I trust that God is, the Holy Spirit is writing. Sam Fiore and Joan Fiore went to Reston Bible Church and shared with other believers in America about planting a church. And that Punta Lodi has been faithful to the task that has been entrusted to us. To proclaim the gospel in a very dark city like Milano, in Italy, where there are 7 sorcerers for every Catholic priest. It's dark, spiritually dark. And I trust that for sure there is a chapter for Reston Bible Church who said they were faithful to getting the gospel in all the world. I look and I see these flags and I think, I know Mike, he's a good friend of mine. I can say all kinds of things about him. And I'm only going to say something nice. He's a little bit crazy like me. But his heart is, we have to reach this world for Christ. And when we get to glory, there's going to be thousands of people worshiping the Lord at the feet of Jesus. Do you know why? And I want to be very practical. I'm not going to say rest in Bible Church. I'm going to talk about the ecclesia, you guys, the people who are faithfully giving, praying. I trust some are willing to go. But again, when you think about this, what we're doing today, if I was God, excuse me, God, I don't mean that. But if I was to choose a way to bring the gospel to the world, I probably would send an army of angels saying, Jesus Christ died for the world. Save, repent, accept the Lord. Or maybe I might line up the clouds so the whole world could see it all at one time. Jesus saves. Maybe send some chariots of fire. Jesus saves. He didn't do that. He took these guys and said, you are going to be my witnesses in the whole world. And it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God has taken the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. We're not foolish. But to the world we are. And it says in, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Okay, so in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness. Doesn't stop there, guys. It says, foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And then we go to Romans 1:16. To everyone who believes, what does that mean? Italians, Pakistanians, Muslims, God's gospel bridges every barrier. And we're talking about missions, but look, you guys have a task to do too. You pray for us, sure. But you know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was telling these guys, you go into your world and let your light shine so that people will see your good works and give glory to the Father. And we are miracles of God's grace. And you think about, we can bring this message of hope and peace to a world that doesn't have it, especially with what's going on now. And, you know, God, when he gave the commission to reach the world, there was no such thing as a mission organization. He just told these guys, you go into the world. You know what it says in Acts chapter 4? They were so weird looking, these guys. The Pharisees looked at them and said, they have been with Jesus. And Jesus, the one who was crucified. They were called Christians in Antioch. I don't think it was an affectionate term as we know now. I think back in those days, the whole world was against them. But they took, the world called them Christians because they were followers of Jesus. And I think, praise God for these guys. You and I are sitting here in this church today because these guys were faithful in their generation. And then there was another generation that were faithful. And then there was another generation, another generation. And just think for a minute. You're here right now because someone talked to you about Jesus. Some people get visions, granted. Most of us, I would say, you're sitting here because someone was faithful to telling you about Jesus. Can I ask you a favor? After maybe this week, could you call that person up and just say, wow, I'm still following Jesus because of your faithfulness. And here's the thing. The ecclesia, the church, is made up of all kinds of people. Engineers, housewives, doctors. I was walking the other night, and I saw a guy who thought I knew him in the country where I live. He was driving a garbage truck. And I said, he's doing a big business. I started talking to him. I said, Dave, what are you doing? He said, I'm a preacher in a garbage dump right now. I said, what does that mean? He became a garbage man. He lost everything because of COVID. He bought a garbage truck. And now he just goes to the garbage truck, garbage dump, and he starts preaching the gospel. He says, Sam, nobody else is doing this. I said, no, you must be kidding. But again, he didn't lose his focus. He just realized that, okay, my world fell apart. I had these ministries I was doing. And he actually told me, he said, Sam, I went for a year and a half, and I just did not know what was going on in my life. So I knew Christ had saved me, but I got cold. I got sidetracked by materialism. He said, I had four houses. I had this, and this. I've lost everything, but now I have everything. I have peace with God. You see, that's what our message is. It talks about in 2 Corinthians, we are ambassadors of Christ. What we can do for this world is we can bring peace to the world. But how are we going to do it? I mean, who's not tired right now? Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, your memory verse. I love this passage because over the 41 years in Italy, guys, we have been tired. And during some of those tired times, a couple of the go-to guys for me and Joan was the Minters and the Hurleys. And I call up and I say, guys, pray for us. And this verse here, look what it says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God, family of believers. This is where missions and fellowship take place. Guys, we need each other. The church has got to come together and it strengthen us. Ephesians chapter 12, Hebrews 12. Don't forsake the assembling of the brothers together. But here's what it's saying. Guys, when you're tired, keep this in mind. I'll share with you. This is what missionaries have to go through. Next slide, please. God has a plan. And look what it says. Let us not become weary in doing good. That means just keep following the Lord. Keep Christ at the center of your life. For at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. You know what this is saying? God is always at work. Question. If we do not see God working, does this truth still work? Encourage me. Shake your heads. Yeah. Of course. If we don't see what God is doing, his truth is, hey, just keep doing the right thing. He's got a plan. He's on the throne. Christ is seated at his right hand. And he is the victorious Christ. But just keep your focus in the business world. As missionaries, we have to keep our focus. I'm going to tell you, when COVID hit February 28th of 2020, we had a church service. We had building was filled, talking about starting two more churches. March 1st, everything shut down. Joan and I were locked into our house, our apartment, for 3 months. We could not leave the house. My daughter lives 7 minutes away. We never saw her. She would buy food for us and drop it off at our door. And we were going crazy. What do? You have all these hundreds of people. How do you keep them all together? What do? Our mindset was, let's keep focusing on Jesus. And praise God for resting. Some of you guys wrote, and it was like, don't give up, guys. We're standing with you. But we felt alone. We did not know what was going on. March 18th, Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse, sends a hospital to Cremona, New Jersey. Cremona, Italy. And within 1 day, guys, listen, this is how you know God's working. Within 1 day, all of Italy knew that Jesus Christ is alive. The evangelicals have come to help us. It was on the news. We were abandoned, and this evangelicals, Franklin Graham, comes with his tent, and they started interviewing these workers. They sent in 80 workers, never charged a penny to anybody, came in, set up this tent, and in the interview, here's what those people said. We're here because we love Jesus, and Jesus loves you, and we want to be his hands and feet to serve you. Again, the Italians are like, who would do something like that? And they said, we'll do it for Jesus. And then they called my son-in-law, Michael Schaffsma, to be a chaplain there in the center. He was there for three months. He wore out two pairs of shoes running around. And he saw hundreds of people come to know the Lord. And then I got a phone call from my little granddaughter. She's 27, but Glory, she's still my little granddaughter. She said, Grandpa, I'm going down to the tent. And I thought, wait, Michael, okay. My granddaughter going in the COVID, middle of a COVID thing, and God says, you trusted her to me. Just be faithful. And we prayed for her. She was there for 3 weeks. She had a great time. And then Franklin, after he finished, he decided he's going to come back and do a major evangelistic campaign, paying for the whole thing. And it's like, God, your plan was, even in this COVID crisis, this pandemic, you will be glorified. And Italy has not forgotten us as evangelicals. And here's the thing. Some people said, how did he get through the bureaucracy? I said, God's power. It wasn't like they were desperate. God's power brought them there. And here's the next thing you want to go with. The next thing. God has a perfect timing for everything. Look what it says here. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. How many people like to wait? Please raise your hand. Amazing, isn't it? We plant a seed, and you go there and say, okay, flower, come up. Or in Italian, it's fiore. My name is flower. Come up. And we have to wait. But see, God's timing is always perfect. His plan is perfect. And when God called John and I to go to Italy back in 1975, I said, Lord, look, how could I go? My family's, none of them are believers, only my father. How can I walk in obedience? Guys, when God calls you to do something, don't try to put the pieces together. Just do it. And do it quickly. Because I had to go to Bible school, and once I did, we ended up getting to Italy. And while I was in Italy, I saw every one of my relatives come to know Jesus. It's like, God. There was one guy I didn't know about, my brother-in-law. My sister died at 41 with brain cancer. I didn't know about my brother-in-law, but she said, Sam, we have to pray for Nick. And I said, okay, we'll start praying. A month ago, I got a phone call from my niece saying, my father has just died, but he loved Jesus. His favorite prayer was the Our Father. I said, Nick? And she said, he loved Jesus when he died. I had two uncles. I didn't know what happened to them. I was walking in my town in Union. Guy came up to me, started witnessing, found that he was a believer, I was a believer, and he said, how about your family? I said, everybody has come except for my Uncle Tony and Uncle Mingy. And he said, I led both of them to the Lord in the hospital. Yeah, that's what I said. Oh, I was like, wow. But you see, guys, don't give up. If God hasn't answered the prayers the way you want. And his way of doing it is so much different than our way. Let's go to the next slide and I'll close on this. He has his ways of doing things. I had the perfect plan for everybody in my family. Didn't work. But God's way did it. And here's what it says. Therefore, as you have opportunity, and what that means is just keep living the Christian life. Missions program, we're serving, and we're doing our thing in Italy. You guys just keep serving and doing the right thing. And as opportunities come, let us do good to all people. And that's where churches have to have a dual vision. You have your body, you take care of yourselves. But all those people are the ones in Romans 10 where it says, how can they hear unless someone goes and tell them? I can go to Italy, I can go knock on doors, I can go preach in piazzas, but I can't go to your next door neighbor, I can't go to your friends, I can't go to your colleagues at work. But we all should be doing good, especially to those in the family. When we got shut down, it's like, hey, Sam, what do we do now? Our building is shut down? No. Our church is shut down? No, our building is shut down, but we're still a church. We're still evangelizing. In our DNA, we have evangelism. So everybody just sort of started thinking, how can I let my light shine amongst men? This one couple, young couple, two little kids, married about 2 years. I did the wedding. And They were in the seventh floor of a building, and a 78-year-old woman was on the bottom floor. They started praying, how can I let my light shine? They knew she couldn't go out. No one could bring her food. So they decided to go and pick up food. Didn't even ask her. They started bringing food, whatever they saw. And they would ask God, what should we buy today? Isn't that interesting? And they would bring the food to her. And they started ministering to her for about 3 months. After they had been always sharing a little bit about Jesus. One day, Lija, the wife, says, I'm going to go share the gospel with her. She cooked a nice meal, walked down, fed her the meal, and said, can I talk to you about Jesus, what it really means to know Christ in a personal way? And the lady said yes, and she received Jesus. She said, would you like to pray? And she prayed. The next day, Lija went down to bring more food to her. The woman had died of COVID. But again, God's way of reaching that lady was this young couple with two kids go down and do that. And the son of that woman said, my mother was so happy with you when you would come and talk to her about Jesus. And he said, you guys are angels. Isn't that amazing? God's way was take, and this, by the way, this guy was a converted believer from Morocco, married to an Italian woman. And they were just saying, we want to serve Jesus in our way. Guys, we're in a missions program. And some of you, God will send. Not most of you, but maybe God will call a couple couples to go. You're giving to keep this church going and to reach your mission, missionaries. You're praying for us. But the task has been given to all of us. Please, please don't relegate the concept of reaching the world to the people behind this these flags. Because yes, we have gone because God has called us. But God has called you, where you're at, to let your light shine. And you don't know how much your neighbor, your family, your colleagues are suffering. Where we're having breakfast, I happened to be standing in line, and the guy said to me, I said, why don't you go first? He said, no, you go first. He said, I'd like to be last. I said, oh, you know what the Bible says? Last shall be first and the first shall be last. And he had his thing on. He said, you're a religious person? I said, yes, yeah. It's all my. He said, I'm a brother and I'm here with a retreat. And we had a great time of fellowship. Again, how could we have ever met if I didn't say something to him? Your theme is, how can they hear if no one goes? Can you take that challenge personally at this point to think, I'm going to go, I'm going to pray for someone, and I'm going to ask God to give me an opportunity to share my faith? Joan and I, again, we're Methuselahs in Italy, 41 years, and we're there because you guys and people have stood with us. This missions conference has been a great shot in our arm. We had to come back for it. Jones has to have a test on Tuesday to make sure her aorta is the right size and it's not growing. But at the same time, I believe this is the time that God brought Joan and I here to be with you. So thank you again for being committed to missions. And let's have a word of prayer. Okay. Father, as we sit in this room and we consider the strategy you have chosen to reach this world, you've taken normal people like ourselves to be your lights, be your ambassadors, to be your envoys of peace. And we thank you for the privilege we have in doing that. And Lord, I pray for people here who are evaluating missions, that you would speak to them, that they would walk by faith and trust you, and that you would give direction. I pray that as they open their hearts to you, that they would just understand what plan you have to go to another country or go to their colleagues at work. I pray also, Lord, for those who came today who have never experienced your peace, and that your Holy Spirit would work in this moment to speak to them so that their hearts would be open. And if there's anybody here today who has to open up the heart to Jesus, I'd like you to pray this prayer in silence of your heart, to give your heart to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've sinned against you. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I will follow you. Thank you for answering my prayer. Amen.